And let's begin with verse number 14 in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. I want you to notice the Bible says here, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And I want to give you some thoughts on that word tonight, Emmanuel, what Emmanuel is and what Emmanuel means and what it should mean to each and every Christian tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings as we open the Bible tonight. God, teach us thy word. Give us a heart to know it. Give us a heart to understand it. And Lord, I pray that tonight you'd help us to focus on this wonderful truth about Emmanuel. And I pray you will in Jesus' name. Amen. The prophet Isaiah prophesied that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. This was approximately 600 years before Mary ever had her baby. There can be no doubt of who Isaiah is talking about because there never has been in history or in any inkling of imagination of a virgin bearing a child. And the Bible tells us that God himself will give them a sign. And what the prophet Isaiah wants us to know, what he wants the children of Israel at this time to know, is that the Lord Jesus himself is going to be with man. Amen. Now that thought was foreign to anybody who had an understanding of God at the time, because everybody at the time thought God was this great, holy, perfect creature that lived above, that could not even look at man, that could not even touch men, who could not be even affected by man in any way. Holiness, deity and humanity were looked at as polar opposites, like putting two equal sides of a magnet together, how they just absolutely repel each other. That is exactly what the world thought about God and man being together as one. But let me tell you something, God wanted it to be that way. God wanted his name, and the Bible tells us, his name shall be called Emmanuel. And the word Emmanuel means God with us. Amen. What a phrase. What an amazing thought to understand that God, this holy and righteous God, was going to come and to be with us. What a truth. And then we go, if you would, with me in Scripture back to the book of Matthew. Take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew. And chapter number 1. The Bible culminates this, what happened with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it connects the truth of Isaiah with the Lord Jesus. Matthew and chapter number 1. I'm in Malachi. I got to go a little further. Matthew chapter number 1. And notice verse 18. The Bible says here, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Now right there is the prophecy of the virgin birth. Right there. And by the way, if Mary and Joseph had already come together, there could not even be a chance that Jesus was the Messiah. It had to be a virgin birth. Verse 19. "Then Joseph, her husband," and by the way, someone may wonder why Joseph was called her husband, because they were not actually married yet. But the truth is that they were espoused together for almost a year before they were actually married as a couple. And in Jewish history, an espousal was considered the same as a marriage. If you were already espoused, in the eyes of people, you were already married, although the formality of marriage was not even done yet. But notice what it says here in verse number 19. Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He didn't want her to go through the potential embarrassment of hearing people mocking and criticizing and laughing, thinking that the child in her was someone who had not actually fully been married yet. But notice verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth the Son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, wait a minute. Isaiah prophesied his name was supposed to be Emmanuel. But here in Matthew's gospel, his name was supposed to be Jesus. In fact, if you look throughout the whole Bible, you're going to see many different names of Jesus. And the reason for that is that Jesus fulfills more than just what one name can encompass. He completes everything. He is more than one name. And back in Bible days, a name was so important. A name connected you with your heritage. It connected you with who you were. A name had a great value. And if you were given a name, that name meant something. And the Bible says they were going to call his name Jesus. In fact, it was commanded, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But now watch this, verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. What prophet? Isaiah. 600 years before God fulfilled his word. He said in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That is exactly what Isaiah said 600 years before. And by the way, to make such a crazy prophecy could not have come from Isaiah's mind. He couldn't have thought that up or imagined that up. And by the way, even to predict it was to tell people, I'm a little bit crazy. I'm a half a bubble off. My elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. By making a statement like that, Isaiah said a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and he will be God with us. Amen. Well, that's ridiculous, people said. That can't happen. Oh, let me tell you something. It did happen. It was God with us, God who came from heaven's glory. He left heaven's glory. He came to this earth, was born as a virgin because he was to be with us. And notice his name was to be Jesus in verse 21. But here's a very important point in verse 22. It says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and he shall bring forth a son, and they, see that word they shall call his name Emmanuel. It's the people. Can I tell you, that's exactly who Jesus came for. He came for people. He didn't come for a crown. He came for sinners. He didn't come to be wrapped in royal robes. He came to grow up in a carpenter's home. He didn't come in a palatial nursery. He was not raised in a palatial nursery, but he was raised by a borrowed father and a mother in the home of a carpenter. Can I tell you, God had a perfect plan because he wanted us, they, the people, to remember he is God with us. He's God with us. I want to tell you something. He died and he came in this form because he wants to know, he wants you and us to understand that he was tempted in all points like as we are. Yet he was without sin. There was no sin ever tainted by the Son of God. Never touched him. But because he was tempted like us, he knows the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it's like to be burdened. He knows what it's like to be sad and defeated. He knows what it's like to be tempted. And by the way, some who would gainsay and say, oh, Jesus today, he wasn't the Son of God. He was not God. Can I remind you that Jesus, remember when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness? The devil came to him and tempted him. And Jesus said to the devil, he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, it's a popular idea today to think that God sent Jesus as a representative. He was simply just an ambassador, so to speak, for God, but that he was not God. I want to tell you something that is a lie straight out of the pit of hell. Jesus was God with us. How can deity and humanity mix? That's what makes him God, is the very fact that he can be God and yet still be wrapped in human flesh. The human mind can't understand that. But I want to tell you something. It only points to the very fact that Jesus was God, but he came for you and for me. He came because he knows that there's sin on our hearts. He came because he knows we need redemption, and without a Savior, we're without hope, and we're going to spend a Christless eternity in hell forever without him, without Christ. So he came to go through everything that we went through, to live a life just like you and I live every day, God with us. Because when he hung on that old rugged cross, he became our intercessor to God. You see, the reason when we get saved, we have to get saved through Jesus Christ, is because Jesus Christ goes to God the Father and he pleads on our behalf. When I go to God and I ask him to save me, I'm going through Jesus Christ. And that's why we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is our mediator. He is our intermediator. And he fulfills that position because he has been wrapped in human flesh like we are. And so when I go to God and I ask God to save me that day, when I was a 13-year-old boy and I asked God to save me, what God did was I went through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ went to God the Father on my behalf. Amen. And he said, God, forgive this man. Forgive Sven Larson. He was a sinner. He sinned, but I know what it's like. I understand the old devil and the temptations of the flesh, and I understand that the flesh is weak. But God, I'm perfect, and would you forgive him of his sins? And God the Father forgives us of our sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a plan. What a purpose. What a purpose. And I say to you tonight, don't wander in sin. Don't live your life drifting in sin. God's made a perfect plan. He gave us Jesus because he wants to save us from our sin. And if you're here and you're living today in a guilty state, or you're living in a place where you're just not settled on Christ in your heart, if you have not yet received him, can I tell you, you're missing the whole purpose in which he came. And that purpose is that you in your life, through Jesus, God with us, might find the saving grace of God Almighty. His eyes are gracious. God is gracious to us. God desires to pour out his grace. God desires to pour out his mercy to us. He doesn't want to withhold it. He wants to pour it out. But can I tell you what? He won't fill a cup that does not want to be full. He does not go to a cup and say, it's already full, I can fill it. No, I want to tell you, he'll come to an empty cup. One who's come to himself and one who's got to a place where they realize they're a lost sinner and undone. And this God with us, we, the people, can call him our Savior because he came to be with you and me and die for our sins. He came to be with you. He came to be with you. But here's the question. Are you with him? Are you with him? He came to be with us. But do you claim to be with him? Do you desire to be with him? And you can only be with him through salvation, the saving blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say to you today, get it settled in your heart, your mind. Open your heart to Christ. Be saved. Trust him before it's eternally too late, because there is a day when it will be too late. There is a day when it will be too late. Trust him today. Put your faith in him. He is God with us, who came to save us from our sins. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes tonight.